your throat. Oh, hi. It's the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Henry. This has been really interesting. It's been very challenging. We had a couple of guests that we didn't think we were going to get. We thank Jay Santos for filling in for us. We did have a guest planned, Bill Bouffant, who does my hair, and we were going to do a segment on the Bouffant hairdo, which he was named for. He never... And I don't wear a bouffant. There hasn't been a bouffant hairdo, I don't think, since Jackie Kennedy, God bless her. But and even she stopped wearing the bouffant, you know.
Well, what do you call a bouffant?
Well, the bouffant is a big boo. It's called a bouffant because it's French for just big, fat bouffant. I don't know why it's called that, to answer your question. But Bill Bouffant has... been doing my hair for a long time. His family has nothing to do with the Bouffant hairdo. He just named himself Bouffant when he knew he was going into the hairstyle business.
Well, he had to have his name legally changed then.
Yes, I guess he did. I mean, if it's your last name, you have to have it legally changed to Bouffant.
Yeah, what was his original last name?
I think his original last name was Bill Gunier. Or Bill Gunier, or Bill Gunner. G-U-N-N-E-R, is that Gunier?
That's Gunner.
So Bill Gunner. And he wanted to go into hairstyling, so he changed his name to Page Boy. And someone said, well, a Page Boy doesn't, you know, that doesn't even exist anymore. And I think he experimented Bill Shag and Bill Bowl Cut.
Did he do, so he did do Bowl Cut?
Yes, he did. He went to Bill Bowl, I'm sorry, am I talking into my hands? I know. I'm sorry, Rick. I started to wipe my nose, and I was talking. It sounds like, oh, everybody, bitches, Bobby. I'm sorry. So it was Bill Bullcutt. It was Bill Mo Howard. All kinds of names.
And Bill Flattop.
Bill Flattop. Until finally he settled on Bill Bouffant, and I said, why that? And he said, well, it just sounds French, and it sounds very big, and filled with life. And I said, well, that's as good a reason as any to stop changing your name from Flat Top to Butch Cut to Shag Cut. At one point, his last name was Mohawk. I said, well, why not that? And he said, no, it makes me sound like I'm some sort of an engine. And I said, well, you got that right. Well, welcome back, folks, to the program. We're going to have on the... line here, Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising. And the reason why we're going to have Brad on here is because of the passing of a great man in the world of sports. And Brad Rifkin is here to tell us more about that. Brad, how are you?
Hey, Bobby. I'm very good, thank you.
And who has passed on?
Well, Bobby, a guy by the name of Frank Jobe passed on. Frank Jobe was a pioneer in sports medicine.
Well, he didn't play any sports himself.
Yeah, did he play baseball?
No, he didn't play baseball. He didn't play any sports. He was a doctor. He was a team doctor at the Los Angeles Dodgers for a number of years. And the reason why it's a passing of note is because Dr. Jobe was the one who came up with what has since become known as Tommy John surgery.
Can you say that again? Tommy Gun surgery.
No, not Tommy Gun.
Tommy John.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. It's Tommy John.
What is that?
Well, that's a he. That's a guy.
That's a man. I'm sorry. His name is Tommy John.
Yes, and Tommy John was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he had ruptured a tendon or something in his...
Can I have to interrupt you for one. Can we say rupture? I'm just talking to Rick Wiffner.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we say rupture, Rick? Can we say rupture? Because if a guy ruptures himself... Okay, we can. Go ahead, we can.
Okay, so what happened was, and I have the news story in front of me here, Ms. Dooley. I want to be accurate here. He was the one, he performed his groundbreaking surgery on Tommy John in 1974. He'd ruptured a medial collateral ligament in his left elbow.
Okay, let's just slow down. A medial, what is it?
Yeah, I'd call it medial collateral.
A medial collateral ligament, yeah.
Okay. I guess he didn't have collateral for that, did he? Did he?
That's pretty good, honey. I just got it.
Yeah, did he?
No, I guess he didn't. No, he didn't have no collateral. Yeah.
That was impromptu. That was a spontaneity that I did. But go ahead.
Okay. No. So, yeah, he ruptured a medial collateral ligament in his left elbow. Now, this was an injury, Bobby and Steve, that up until that point had no solution to. If a pitcher ruptured the medial collateral ligament in his left elbow, right elbow, there was no answer, and he was done, you know.
So he'd have to retire from playing the game of baseball.
Yes, absolutely. You'd have to retire.
All right, so then came Dr. Frank Jobe, and how did he do it?
How did he do what?
What did he do with it?
Well, his surgery is what he did. And what Dr. Frank Jobe did was he operated in 1974 on Tommy John, this pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who had ruptured this in his elbow. And he basically removed a tendon from Tommy John's forearm and repaired the elbow with it. And Tommy John went on to pitch 14 more years after the operation, and he got 164 more victories as a pitcher, and he never missed a start because of an elbow problem.
So that is quite an achievement, Steve. Did you hear that?
I missed a lot of it. Can you say it again?
Could you say it again? Steve was putting some Mountain Dew in the machine over here. We're out of Mountain Dew.
You want me to...
start all over again. I've got to get a Mountain Dew.
All right, Dr. Frank Jobe.
And who was he?
He was a doctor who passed on, a very great sports medicine doctor who passed on. And Dr. Jobe performed surgery on Tommy John.
And that's a man, ladies and gentlemen. That's not a Tommy Gun or a Tommy John.
Yeah, but like a rapid-firing bathroom, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Can I just interrupt you for a minute here?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm talking about a man that just passed on who was very important in the world of sports, and the two of you are talking like a couple of morons that eat with your hands. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Right. So, in other words, this guy, this Dr. Jobe, Frank Jobe, who is a pioneer of sports medicine, he developed a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He developed a surgery that other doctors copied and saved the careers of a great many men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's what he done did, and you're all making jokes about Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? I find that very offensive that this man, you know, he died.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. Go ahead.
He died. The man died. You know, he has family, he has friends, he has colleagues, people that respect and love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
Right. So why don't you have some respect and listen to what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. No, I understand. That's big news, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just figure that out. Just needed to get the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, okay. So do you got your Mountain Dew now?
Yeah, I do.
If you were here, we'd offer you one, but...
No, I don't want a Mountain Dew. I just wanted to tell you that Frank Jobe, a great man, and...
Hold on for just a minute there, Brad.
Well, no, wait a minute. This...
Okay, we're going to take a break, right, Rick Wiffner?
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
Oh, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We have more from our very good friend Brad Rifkin, who is talking to us here about Dr. Frank Jobe and the tendon surgery that he created, and you know.
Yeah, he transplanted one.
Yeah, and everything. We'll be right back. Back here to the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Hendry. Brad Rifkin is with us, and he's telling us about the passing of sports medicine person.
Yeah, the sports guy.
Is a sports guy, yeah. The passing of a sports guy named Dr. Frank Jobe. And Brad, I know you're... Just bear with us. Frank Jobe is who again?
You know, Ms. Dooley, I can hang the phone up here, and I can just not be on your show, and I can go and do another show where they're going to appreciate this information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. You understand that?
Mm-hmm, yeah. What did he do again, dear?
What did he do again? He was a sports doctor.
Now, what do you say a sports doctor does what?
A sports doctor? Well, he is a guy that paints Easter eggs, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and the sports doctor is the guy that hides the Easter eggs after he paints them, and then he pops out of a bush in a bunny rabbit costume. That's what he does.
And so this bunny rabbit died?
Yeah, the bunny rabbit died. The bunny rabbit died that paints all the Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about Tommy John?
Well, Tommy John used to help him hide the Easter eggs, but Tommy ain't doing that no more since this beast,
the Beast Bunny, did you call him?
No, the Easter Bunny, not the Beast Bunny. The Easter Bunny died.
Okay, well, that's very interesting, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was a whole lot of nothing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't talk about the Beast Bunny.
Well, it's not the Beast Bunny, it's the Easter Bunny. He had that wrong. That was the part that right away I knew he was full of it. And then he goes on and on about Easter eggs. It's not even Easter time yet, but it is getting close. But you know what else is getting close? Is St. Patrick's Day. We had a wonderful time at Western Estates where we have the St. Paddy's Day celebration. Steve dresses up in his leprechaun costume with the big dangling shamrock, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's an adult celebration, isn't it, honey?
Yeah, well, I got the shamrock, and I did have it inside the trousers.
Well, Steve wears these traditional Irish trousers. They're the knee breeches that so many of the Irish used to wear. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but if you go to Ireland... If you went to Ireland and it was 1600 and something, or I don't know.
No, probably 1800.
Yeah, maybe 1800 if you went to Ireland. You would see the Ireland men dressed up in these breech pants and the big shamrock bulging. Not, I shouldn't say bulging, but...
That was my joke.
That's what Steve, that was his joke. So last year, during our celebration... Steve said, well, there's the four-leaf clover. And I said, well, we have the giant four-leaf clover shamrock. And he goes, ha-ha, watch this. And he slid it down the front of these trousers, okay? And he walked up to the gals and said, are you feeling lucky? And I remember Sue Gloonman looked at you with that look on her face like what?
Yeah, she had a look on her face like, you know, I came from I was a Mars man, or I came from the planet Mars.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, and I said, are you feeling lucky? And she goes, huh? And I unzipped my pants and pulled out the shamrock. And she fainted or something.
Well, yes, she blacked out momentarily, right?
Yeah, she blacked out when she saw the shamrock come out of there.
Right, so this year we're toning it down just a little bit, and we're just going to have the shamrock as an ornament or an accoutrement, if you will, from Steve's Lucky Leprechaun costume, and that's what we call Steve every year, Lucky the Leprechaun, and it's a lot of fun. But we do want people to join us for our St. Patrick's Day celebration, and that is on St. Patrick's Day. That's the 17th of March, which is going to be when?
The 17th of March. Wow.
Oh, that's the Monday that Phil Henry starts his... Is that St. Patrick's Day? Rick Gleason? Wiffner. Gleason is Rick's, Rick Gleason is the husband. Are you married to?
No. He's not, honey.
Are you, Rick? Okay, I'm a little confused, but the 17th of March is the first day that the Phil Henry Show will be taking place on the digital platform. I don't yet know what the actual date of St. Patrick's Day is, and that is what we are looking up. However, we do want you to join us for the St. Patrick's Day festivities at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and that will be on St. Patrick's Day. Steve?
Yeah, everybody, come on out and rub the shamrock.
Right. Now, joining me on the line is Father James McCorders, and it wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day without the good father. Father McCorders, how are you, dear?
Bobby and Steve, I'm doing fine. I'm on the program to say a preliminary happy St. Patrick's Day and also ask you to understand that St. Patrick's Day is a Catholic festival and a Catholic holiday as well. And we want you to be sensitive to the needs of Catholics as you celebrate this day, which of course goes across all faith lines. It is something that goes across all lines of demarcation, all color lines and so forth. Even African-American people, even black people, celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And I've seen marvelous celebrations in the black community for St. Patrick's Day.
You have? That's really unusual.
Yeah, how do black people do that?
All of the black people, I've seen young African-American people wearing green sunglasses and sort of a mixing of jazz and hip-hop cool with the St. Patrick's Day tradition. So they've got on their green shades and a green lipstick and this kind of thing. It's marvelous, just marvelous. But let's talk, if we might, Steve, to you, and Bobby, you can overhear some saying here. Will you talk about now, what is that in the background?
That is traditional Irish Gaelic dance music.
All right, right. This is the music that we would dance to when I was a young man, generally at the pub, after we'd gone to see the steeplechase, or perhaps we'd gone to see some Irish football, and we'd come back, we'd repair back to the pub, and to talk about it, and meet with the families, and meet with the neighborhood, and have some supper. And then someone would break out a fiddle, and someone would break out a stringed instrument of some kind, a lute, and then would begin. How they call me Ole Joe is where I go. Everywhere I go with you, I'll probably tell your wife too, and your mama, and your, and that kind of thing.
But that sounds almost dirty.
No, there's nothing dirty about it. Listen to the lilting melody. Listen. And we go up to where they are, all the people gathered far. We'll see all the people there, and you'll be there, she'll be bare. We'd fool around with things like that.
All right, we have Father James McCorders with us, and we are hoping that you'll be out for a St. Patrick's Day celebration.
I can come out for the St. Patrick's Day celebration, Bobby. But Bobby and Steve, I want you to know, all bets are off. I cannot be a party to any celebration where Steve's got people rubbing the shamrock. I can't do it. I can't be a party to it. The reason why I'm saying this is because, Steve, if the shamrock is in your trousers, you understand, there's certain things I just can't, it goes over the line.
I understand. That's a very, very good point. And I'm so sorry, Father McCorders. I don't mean to offend you. We don't want to offend your faith. The shamrock, it all came about as the result of too much alcohol. But Steve had said, are you feeling lucky?
No, I know. He said, are you feeling lucky? And they pulled a shamrock out of his slacks. Is that it?
Well, they weren't slacks.
Well, whatever they were. Trousers, traditional Irish. They were traditional Irish jump trousers. Is that right?
Yeah, my understanding, yeah, they were jump trousers.
All right, so fine. So, you know, no harm, no foul, all right? So you did wrong, you screwed up, you acted like a pig, but now you know what you did wrong and you'll never do it again, correct?
Yeah, Father, I'll never do that again.
All right. So I would hope that you're not going to be walking around saying, do you feel lucky, and out comes the shamrock. I just have the shamrock there and people can rub it if they want to, but don't have it anywhere near your crotch.
Words of wisdom, Father McCorders. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Bobby. Let me ask you, Bobby, how is it you come to be on the radio tonight?
Well, Phil Henry had some other business to attend to, and he asked if I would be the host of the show tonight.
Well, congratulations. You're doing a good job, Bobby. And Steve, you're doing a great job. And God bless all. For me, Father McCorders, we'll see you at Western States for the St. Patrick's Day celebration. I hope, if I'm not taking care of Father Staley, you know, trying to put him to bed.
Well, make sure he doesn't get too much of the Irish whiskey that I know you priests love to drink.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry, did I overstep?
No, you know, just Jesus, go easy, will you?
I find him quite a bang lot.
You got it. That husband of yours is a real weird...
Isn't he delightful, Father James McCorders, joining us here on the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Henry's show. Dee-dee-dee-dee. Steve, are you going to be... Now, what do you do, honey?
Well, I put on a traditional leprechaun costume, and I go out and get the leprechaun suit. I got to rent the leprechaun suit from the costume store.
You have to rent the suit, yeah.
And I put on a leprechaun hat, and then I greet everybody at the door with a lucky shamrock, tell people to rub on it. Now, that's not going to... I'll do it after the, you know, what he says.
Yeah, you can't have the lucky shamrock dangling from anything. Just give it a rub, give them their raffle ticket, and get their asses, excuse my language, folks, I'm sorry. Just have them give the shamrock a rub, give them their raffle ticket, push them into the party, stuff as many people as you can into the community center, and pray that we don't have a fire hazard. And then later on, we'll do the drawing.
Yeah, that's all I'll do. But you'll know me. I'll be the big green man.
Well, he'll be a leprechaun, because if you say you're a big green man, they'll think you're
Yeah, not, like I'm a Mars man.
Yeah, he's not a Mars man. He's a man. He's a man who's green, which is a leprechaun. Which, by the way, leprechauns are little men that guard a pot of gold.
30 seconds.
And you have to keep your eye on the leprechaun at all times. If you do, then you know where he's hid his pot of gold. Okay? But if you don't pay attention to him, he'll escape. And then you won't know where the pot of gold is, you know?
Yeah, you got to keep your eye on the leprechaun.
Four.
You are a real pig. Steve
two,
just pointed.
One.
Keep your eye on it.
Well, this has been so much fun. This is the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for the Phil Hendry Show. And I'm Bobby Dooley, and with me is my husband, Steve. We had Father James McCorders here just moments ago. And I think we have another guest due up here in very short order, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I thought I had the guy on hold. I had to double-check to see if he's still there.
All right, well, we do have a guest that we have. Oh, it's Dr. Jim Sadler, isn't it?
Yeah. Dr. Sadler, you there?
All right. Let me ask you a question, honey, as long as I've got you on the line. We were talking about St. Patrick's Day, which is always a favorite time of ours at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. When I said that you have to keep your eye on the leprechaun in order not to lose track of the leprechaun and his pot of gold, you pointed at your you-know-what, and I've gotten used to this, girls. A lot of you out there are shaking your heads and going, oh, God, he's just like my husband. Well, yes, he is. You pointed at your... Why did you do that?
Well, I mean, you know...
No, I don't know. Why did you do that?
Come on, Bobby.
No, why did you do that, Steve?
Because that's the nickname I have for my penis.
Come here.
Oh, come on. Ah, yeah, the face. Wow. And the swelling, it just started going down. Ah.
There. Now do you feel funny man?
God, big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal. I'm a woman, and I'm your wife. And when I say keep your eye on the leprechaun, that's not occasion for you and every other man to go hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and point at your you-know-what.
Man, the swelling, it just started to go down.
Well, I guess the swelling's going back up now. Oh, are you laughing at that?
Come on, brother. Ah!
There's one to grow on.
Oh, woman.
What a what?
Nothing.
So this reminds me, and I'm sorry to have to bring this up. It reminded me three St. Patrick's Day days ago, three St. Patrick's Days ago, so 3 years, Steve had given it another nickname. What is it with men nicknaming it? Isn't that strange? It's not childish. It's not really perverse. It's just very strange. It's almost schizophrenic or there's something really weird about that. But Steve had nicknamed it Lucky.
Oh, come on. You're bringing that up again?
Yes, I'm bringing it up again. And he's walking up to every woman in the party saying, oh, do you feel lucky? Did you feel lucky? Ha, 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 ha. And, of course, all the gals are going, oh, Steve, you're so cute. Ha, ha, yes, I do feel lucky. And he'd go, that's funny, because I don't feel it. And they're all looking at him like he's a total tard, didn't they?
No, I'm a bonehead.
No one can understand you, Steve, because your mouth is contorted, because I gave you three good shots. And you'll notice, what ring am I wearing?
Oh, man, are you kidding me?
No, I'm wearing the big rock today. So we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler joining us here on the Bobby Dooley Filling In for Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Bobby and Steve. And sounds like you've got a very raucous evening going on there.
Well, we do, and we're very happy to... What is that, here, construction going on?
Right, we are overseeing the expansion of our offices here in San Diego, Bobby. We have a new clinic going in, a adolescent clinic where we can treat a lot of these problems that our adolescents have, the overeating, the self-abuse, the cutting of themselves, that a lot of these different problems that the kids have.
No, I heard, and excuse me for asking, I heard there were some irregularities.
No. There was no irregularities. We're putting in, the first thing we're putting in is the first thing we're installing.
I'm sorry if I brought up something I shouldn't have.
No. I'm glad you did bring it up, Bobby. We're installing the home where I will live and where my wife will live with me, obviously. So we're installing the home.
You're installing the home.
Well, we're building the home. We're building the home, which is where we're going to live. And then we're going to have the clinic, which is going to be a part of the home.
You're going to live in the clinic?
No, well, you may say that, yeah, because it will be an extension. The home part, which is where the bedroom and, you know, the kitchen, that part will be very small compared to the clinic that we're building that will have all the things.
Well, the thing that I read, this is in the local San Diego. I won't bring it up if you don't want me to.
No, go ahead. I've got nothing to hide, unless this is the article in the San Diego Union. At which point, they're nothing but liars. They're liars. I can tell you that right now.
Well, it says that there's an indoor pool. There is home theater.
Yeah, that's all part of the clinic. Yes.
Well, how is that part of a clinic?
Well, like I said, I didn't know you were going to read the San Diego Union article. Those people are liars, and I don't trust them, so I'd rather not comment. If you were just reading the article that was written about us in the San Diego, the weekly fish wrap, or whatever. They've got a weekly paper there, which is kind of a hippie paper.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, well, that's the one that I approve of, but the San Diego paper, the San Diego Union, no, I don't.
All right, well, I won't ask you any more questions, but you are overseeing the construction of that right now?
Oh, yeah, we're working overtime. It's 9:30 at night, and I've got these guys. I got cement mixers here. I got all kinds of guys here. They thought they were going home at 7. No can do. No way. And Bill Fleming and all the guys are here from the construction company. They know what's up. I told them, I said, you guys have been knocking off early. You've been going home early. I said, tonight, your ass is mine. Yeah, hear that? See that jackhammering? They're working their asses off. Otherwise, Bill, you know what I said? Yeah, he's over there. How you doing, buddy? Yeah, you dirty. I said to him, good luck getting the next paycheck for this.
Well, that is the way to deal with contractors. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to say to them, we're not paying until this part of the job is done. Now, I know there's a lot of contractors that will say, well, then we won't do the job. That's fine. You're not the only contractor in the phone book, you know. So.
Absolutely true.
All right, so I wanted to talk to you about Dr. Sadler. What were we going to talk to you about?
Well, we're going to talk about your husband and the uses of nicknames for the penis. I thought that was my understanding.
Is that what you were told?
Yes, that's exactly what I was told.
See, I didn't think that that's what we were going to talk about, but okay, so. My husband, who is a wonderful man, and it's a man that I love deeply, is a guy... That's very loud.
Yeah, well, we're over here. We're over here. That's pretty loud. I'm on the radio. I'm talking at a Phil Hendry show. I'll tell the guy to keep an eye. There's nothing I can do about it, Bobby. I'm sorry. But they're jackhammering. There's a big granite slab where we're going to put the pool. And they got to get that out of there.
Well, when men nickname their private parts and talk to them, and isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah, it's very weird. Hey, you, come here. Let me see that. That's the wrong color mix. That's not the cement I want to put in. It's the wrong, it's absolutely, in my opinion, it's very weird. When a guy's nicknaming it and saying, hey, like, for instance, if I called mine Jay Jr., what am I going to say? J. Jr. hurts, or I got to go to the J. Jr. doctor? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say what I would normally say. Now, in the case of your husband, because it is St. Patrick's Day, and because everybody makes with the shamrock jokes and the little green man joke and the leprechaun joke, I would say it's only dangerous if he paints it green. And believe me, I've had guys do that.
Say that again. Paints it green?
Yeah, paints it green.
How you feel? Well, I'm dumb.
I'm sorry, I heard what sounded like an animal with its leg caught in a bear trap. What is that?
That's my husband. I had to, that's awfully loud.
Hey, wait a minute. I gotta leave. I gotta do this interview. I want the right color cement going in, okay? And I don't want that tile. I want the, that stuff's too gay. I don't care if my wife picked it out. Yeah, all right. I'm going to get in the car, Bobby, and probably just take a little bit of a drive here so that we can have some privacy. I will say that if you have a guy on St. Patrick's Day who's decided that he wants to paint it green, are you saying your husband decided to do that?
Well, no, not yet. He did have, he pointed at it and called it, just a moment ago, he pointed at it and called it the leprechaun.
But it's not green.
Not that I know. I mean, I don't really... What do you mean by green?
Did he paint it green, or is the blood cut off?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I mean, you've got a very serious case, I think, a psychotic case, whereby he is imagining that his, you know what, it has powers, powers far beyond those of any normal, you know, penis. And for him to be looking upon that as a real thing, a real a fact of his life, and he's pointing at it and talking to it and laughing about it. Now, you just say you beat your husband because he'd made that crack. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
All right. That could be very dangerous, because if he really believes that it's a leprechaun and he's pointing at it and so on and so forth, and then you beat him up, now he is sitting there fuming and resentful and plotting and planning with the leprechaun, let's just call it that, to exact their, not his, but their revenge. So,
So, Steve, are you plotting your revenge with the leprechaun?
What? What are you saying?
He doesn't even understand what I'm saying.
Well, he sounds like an animal with the mouth all swollen. I would want to talk to him once his mouth isn't full of whatever it's got, or...
No, it's swollen from when I clocked him.
Oh, okay. I would talk to him at some future point and get some straight answers out of him, because right now all he sounds like is some animal that is caught in a cage. Can he hear me? Put the headphones on him.
Steve, honey, I'm going to put these headphones on you.
Can you hear me, Steve? This is Dr. Sadler.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Oh, you sound like hell. What'd she do?
Can you cluck me in the face?
She clucked like a what?
She clucked me in the face.
She clucked you in the face, okay. So you can't talk? Are your teeth missing?
But two.
Do you want me to interpret?
No. It's very important that I... About three of them?
Yeah.
All right. Why did you call your you-know-what a leprechaun?
Well, I'm a fairy, Steve. What a fairy.
Don't call me a fairy, because I... You know what? Up to this point, I haven't set a bill to your house. You want me to bill you? Call me a fairy. Call me a fairy. Go ahead.
You see?
Okay, I'm setting a bill to your house.
Nice one, Steve. Dr. Sadler, hold on.
Hello.
The man was treating us for free. And you just called him a fairy, and now we're getting a bill. That's $600 an hour.
I'll get you.
Steve, I have no problem at all taking the back. See this ice skate? Did you hear what happened to that one guy with the Florida Panthers who fell forward and the skate went right into his mouth? That's you.
Bill, hey.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up here this evening on the Phil Henry Show. It has been my pleasure. I'm Bobby Dooley. Thank you very much, Dr. Jim Sadler, for joining us and giving us your expertise on this very interesting topic of hallucinations and St. Patrick's Day, which I think probably all go together. Welcome back, everyone. This is Bobby Dooley, and Steve Dooley, my husband, is here. And we have been filling in here on the Phil Henry Show. I like this song. This is a great song. This is AC/DC. I'm going straight to hell.
Doug Paul, Highway to Hell.
It's called The Highway Down to Hell. Yeah. This, I love this. This song came out about when I was just, I was very young. On my way into middle school, I think, right?
Yeah, what song is that?
And my husband sounds like the Hunchback of Notre Dame because I kicked him in the face a few times when he pointed at his you-know-what and called it the leprechaun. Steve's going to hell. Steve's going down to hell. Whee!
Yeah, you're okay, darling.
Oh, Steve, shut up. No one knows what you're saying.
Speed limit!
My husband's gonna burn in hell.
Like a wheel!
I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of fun here. It's not often that you can get your husband to shut his mouth, is it? Men are always talking about how women talk too much. No, guys, you talk way more than we do. Getting you guys to shut up. I'm telling you, girls, it does take. You know what you do? Load up a sock with ball bearing. Oh, never mind. You got to shut your husband up with a sock full of ball bearings. What? Okay, hold on. I don't know. I got some comment. David G. Hall. Hello. How are you, David?
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, it's David Hall. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's everything sounding?
You've been sounding very good, but I'm concerned about this last segment. You recommending to women that they beat their husbands across the mouth with a sock full of ball bearings.
Well, I'm joking around.
I know you're joking around, but there are people who will take that seriously, and some woman out there is liable to load up a sock full of ball bearings some night, like maybe even my wife. I'm not married yet. Not that she'd have reason to, but if I ever got a face full of ball bearings...
Sorry, what did you say? A face full of what?
You heard very well what I said. A face full of ball bearings. Ball bearings? I would feel that...
You'd feel what?
Forget it. You talk about being a child.
Well, I lost connection there with David G. Hall.
You thought you had a problem.
You sound really bad, honey. I think we have to take you to the doctor and see if he can't fix you up. You may need plastic surgery after what I did to you. Oh, God, doesn't he sound... You sound really... You just sound like the ghoul. You sound like Chud, you know?
Who?
Chud, it's not a who, it's a what. Anyway, thank you, David G. Hall. No, of course I don't recommend that you do that. Men do talk an awful lot. They talk a blue streak. How do you get them to shut the hole under their nose? That's always going to be the challenge. First thing you have to do with a man is understand that even though we're smarter than them, and so often we are able to outwit them and say things that can really put them down, we don't do it because they're bigger and they're stronger than us. And when they get angry, which is what they're going to do, they get a little scary. Just know that we all know, as women, we all know that we're all much smarter and wittier, and we can generally cut a man in half with the things that we have to say. Now, what do you do when you've really got a good one-liner and you can really slice a man up with it, but you know he's a big fat baby and he's going to get angry and jump up and down. And maybe if you push him too far, he gets angry and he might even slap us or do something like that. Steve's done that, haven't you, honey?
I'm glad you did.
Yes, you did. Don't lie. One time I really got him good, and he got all mad and he tried to slap me, but I blocked the blow with my forearm, my left forearm, and then I came back down with a fireplace poker on top of his head. So it's a two-step move. Block with the left arm, the fat of the forearm. It always is a very good block. And then come down with the poker with the right arm, bang, down on the head. Well, what did you do then, honey? You sound like you're wrecked. Your face is all wrecked. You know what, honey? If you just said it takes one to know one, what? Shut up, Steve. So when a man gets so angry that you have inevitably sliced him in half with your wit, and he's going to get physical with you. Remember the blocking with the left arm, come down with the right arm, the fireplace poker, or the hatchet, or whatever you have in your hand. Now, the other thing is the ball bearings in the sock. Okay, let's talk about that. You need a lot of strength, but what you want to do is get that thing going counterclockwise. Zing, zing, zing. You're swinging it around like it's one of those Olympic hammers, and then boom, right down that way. Now, you need to do this defensively. Don't ever use this offensively, but you're always going to need it defensively because men can't take the fact that we're smarter, wittier, and we generally can slice them up real good with one or two words. And men will respond in a huff and get angry. Now, a lot of girls are very, very unkind and cruel to men, and some men are not violent. Some men are very, very introverted, and they take that abuse. And if you're one of those guys, then I would recommend you smack her across the face, especially if she burns the chicken or something along those lines. This has been really, really exciting. I'm Bobby Dooley. We've had a heck of a good time. I can't understand anything you're saying, Steve. You will note that we started the program. Steve could talk like a normal human being, made sounds like a man would make, and now he's grunting like a wounded animal in the bush.
The Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Hendry. Brought to you by PhilHendryShow.com. Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved.
I'm Bobby Dooley. See you next time.